Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to In the Open. It's Teresa. I'm by myself. America is taking care of herself. But I'm here with Aaron Wallace. Aaron, you want to share a little bit with our audience about who you are?
Sure. I am Erin. I'm a colleague of Teresa's at MAJ. I'm the Chief Communications Officer. So I run our communications department and our national events. And I am a mother of two living in Northern Virginia.
And today we're going to talk about feeling so mad at things you can't control.
Yeah.
We've talked about being mad before, but like, when people can't control situations, I think it's always interesting, like, where a person goes in terms of their feelings when they can't control things, right? Like, is being mad a new thing for you? Or is, like, what's your typical response to not being able to control a situation?
Probably a mixture of anxiety and anger. But lately, it's been, as far as everything that's going on in the world, there's been a whole lot of anger that I'm trying to deal with and not sure what to do with it, quite frankly. So I know we've talked, but you know, some people have been dealing with the last couple months, and we have all the statistics that show what happens with isolation and depression and anxiety. And I find myself more than anything else, just really, really ticked off about the whole state of the world and how it's impacting my family and me and my job, and trying to figure out how to deal with that and what outlet to process all of that is kind of a challenge.
Can you tell why you would feel anxious in one situation and then mad in another?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference between feeling anxious about or stressed out about something that's happening in your life and knowing that you don't know how to process it yet, but you'll get to it, as opposed to there are just certain things in the state of our world right now that I have zero control over. And I think, at least for my personality, I tend to like to be in control. I think everybody does, but I'm definitely one of those personalities that thrive more so when I feel confident and in control of my life and work. And there's just been so many things about the last few months that have been completely out of my control. And I find myself targeting my anger in very specific ways to very specific groups and individuals and situations, because I don't know what else to do with all of the emotions that have come up since the spring.
That's so interesting, because kind of what you're describing is, in mental health, the word projection. Like, I feel some feeling about something, but I'm gonna project it onto something else. Like, I'm mad at my job, but I'm going to go home and kick the dog, right?
but I don't know, because, I mean, I think where my anger is directed is completely logical, but it still does not solve my problem.
Yeah.
So in all of the drama of COVID-19 and everything that means with raising grade school children, I cannot do anything about the fact that I now have to have my children 100% virtual for the next 4 months. But I sure can be angry at how we got to this place, because it wasn't my doing.
Yeah.
It was very specific actions of other entities and people. So that's where my anger goes, because I'm in this space of, so much of this could have been avoided.
When things are out of control, like, my natural inclination is to freak out at first, and then I'll sit with anxiety for a long time. And if it doesn't go away, I have to switch to anger because I have to feel a different emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm afraid that the anxiety and dread or depression will just crush me.
Well, yeah. I mean, anxiety, like the anxiety and depression, it just spins in your head, as opposed to like anger, there's a direction towards it. That's kind of how I feel. So there's an object, whether it's a person or a situation or a thing or whatever, there's a way to channel it. Whereas anxiety, it's like, no, and now you're just up at 3 a.m, like losing your damn mind in the middle of the night. And there's nothing you can do about it. Whereas like anger, my energy can be directed towards something. And so I don't know, maybe that's how I'm processing everything lately.
You know, the thing about being mad is I don't feel as guilty when I'm mad at fake people. When I get mad on Facebook, when I scream at the wall because I'm screaming at some Karen or some person, you know, I can feel mad and I can yell at that thing. But what really sucks is when I can't control people in my life, like my children, my husband, my siblings, the people who are close to me that hurt me. And then I lash out at other people that are close to me. Mm-hmm. I just feel like a crap head. And mostly when I scream at my children, because they didn't ask for that.
Right. I mean, they haven't asked for this year. They haven't asked to be homeschooled. They haven't asked to like not have seen their kids or their friends for months on end. And we're expecting them to just roll with it like we are. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I'm trying to keep that in mind that they don't know how to necessarily handle it. But yeah, no, if I yell at my kids, I immediately feel like the worst parent in the world. It's not about what they've done. It's about my reaction to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, have you ever had a relationship in your life where you felt like the person you were dealing with made you walk on eggshells?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. This is a different situation, right? Because I'm thinking about, I'm mad at this person that I can't control, but the way that you're acting right now is so unreasonable. And I get it. I've been that person on the other side.
Yeah. I have family members that I feel that way about who will probably never listen to this podcast. So it's okay that I say that.
Yeah, and it drives you nuts because you're just like, oh my God, I feel so reactive to the way that you're acting right now. And we see this all the time with people who say, oh my gosh, my family member has borderline personality disorder or something, right? Like walking on eggshells, feeling like you don't know if that person, like I cannot control them. They have these beliefs about the world or themselves. It makes you mad at those people and your situation because you're like, why? What is happening here?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do I preserve myself too? I think about that. Like, I don't know if when you're thinking about being mad, part of it is about safety. Mm-hmm. So you're like, how can I preserve my sanity? How can I preserve my my mental health concerns?
Yeah. I absolutely think about that because, I mean, the school year coming up, I mean, for those who know me, know that I am about to take a leave of absence from this job so that I can actually manage my kids' education. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle that. My kids are at that age that are, it's just a lot. It's just a lot, period, full stop. And when I am working, it's a different type of stress. It's a different outlet. And I'm good at my job. And I'm not sure I'm going to be good at teaching my kids. And I'm not sure what my mental health will be like by the time we reach December. Because I did the stay-at-home mom thing when they were little and it didn't go very well. So this is a different age and a different time of age that they're in. But I also know that it's not about me right now. It's about their education and what they need. And what they need is me with 100% attention on them. So, I mean, I'm mad on a lot, going back to the anger thing. I'm mad that I have to sacrifice my damn career temporarily to fix this.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't have to be that way. I should not have to take a leave of absence so my children can be educated. And then how do you deal with anger we're both parents. Like, what do you do if your kid's angry about this stuff? And like, how do you help someone else's anger and frustration and anxiety and stress, especially if they're little humans who don't necessarily know how to process emotions yet? Like,
totally.
That makes me angry that I'm having to deal with that level of emotions with my grade school children because of everything happening around them, you know? But like, you got to take care of yourself first in order to take care of them. But at the same time, like, they have every right to be angry and sad and anxious and how you handle that too. It's a totally other ball of wax, so to speak.
Totally. It's what you're seeing is the impact. That's all part of the convoluted and screwed up thing of seeing the impact on other people you love, where you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm okay with sacrificing myself to death.
Right?
But seeing the people you love suffer, it's a trigger. It's probably a protection thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like anger, fighting is a protection thing. So what do? Do you lash out? Do you scream? Do you try to change people you can't control? Do you ignore it?
I learned a long time ago to not try to change people. So that much I don't try to do. I might get angry at them for their decisions and their choices, but I know I can't change them. But honestly, it's just day by day. To remember to breathe and remember to be grateful for the things you have and try to look at the big picture and know that there is eventually a light at the end of the tunnel, right? Yeah. No, I mean, my anger is my anger and I tend to bottle it up, but I feel like I ultimately process most of it without lashing out. I just find other ways to vent, thankfully not on social media.
Well, so there always is a cost to how we deal with our feelings, like mm-hmm. so trying to change a person does come with a cost, a big one.
Yeah,
because you put yourself at risk of being hurt and continually hurt by these people. But bottling up emotions is also really risky.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just pack it away until you also explode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel better right now, by the way, just having talked to me for 15 minutes about feeling
absolutely
better?
Yeah. Which is why therapy is an amazing tool. People can have
therapy, sharing, finding a friend to vent and talk mm-hmm. and process, letting it out. I feel like this is called letting go of the steam.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, because that's the thing, especially when you are working full time and you've got kids or you've got other commitments or other, you know, caregiving responsibilities. You don't have time in the day to talk about it because you're just executing, right? You're just trying to get from like morning to dinner or morning to bedtime, right? And then you're so tired that you're just going to fall into bed and do it all over again in the morning. So taking the time to actually pause and talk about it, or actually pause and find a way to practice self-care. I mean, I've failed in the last couple of weeks, but like exercise for me is how I've managed to not completely lose it in the last 6 months, because it's me locking my bedroom door and having 30 minutes to myself, right? And I've always been like an at-home workout person, so that wasn't a big shift for me in terms of stay-at-home orders. But like carving out time for yourself, I think no matter what your situation, even if it's like 15 minutes, is critical, I think, to just being able to process all the emotions. But talking about it, if you can, to somebody who is not going to judge you, thank you, Teresa, is also incredibly relevant and important. And if you don't have that outlet, I think it's really important to try to find it. If you can't get it out in some way, whether it's screaming into a pillow or screaming at a friend or going to a therapist or seeing a therapist virtually, whatever works for you, I think you have to keep it up because it's just too much. And this year has been too much for us not to remember to actually take care of ourselves. I've said this a million times. It's not like I didn't create this, but I apply it to my life. Is like the phrase on the airplane is that you got to put the air mask on yourself before helping others. You got to take care of yourself before you can help other people.
Also, like letting out the steam helps you stay in a bad situation for the long term. Like if you know nothing is going to change, your option is not to explode.
Yeah, you don't have the choice. You don't have a choice. To me, it's like, find another way to deal with it, Aaron, because exploding doesn't help anybody. It just will make other people mad too, right? Because yeah. If I'm exploding, it means I'm exploding at somebody. And that person probably doesn't deserve it either.
I do, though, reflect on like one final stage of this process, which is mm-hmm. when the thing you can't control is so much a part of your life that it's basically a battle between that thing continuing to exist and mm-hmm. consume you or you dying. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it's like all great and fine when I'm mad at my neighbor, but whatever, I can just run away from my neighbor. I don't have this feeling with my neighbor, but it's an example, right? Just like, or somebody that I could just be like, whatever, bye, you suck. I can just ignore you. It's harder when the thing I can't control that makes me mad is so close. I can't run away from that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can reduce the steam by talking to people, but at some point, you know, we also need something to happen. Like,
yeah.
And I hear this all the time when I talk to clients. I've dealt with this with my own life where you have to make a decision about cutting someone off. Mm-hmm. Or numbing yourself, figuring out how to be like, I am not going to let what you're putting out affect me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to make myself not care or numb to your toxicity.
No, I completely understand. I mean, I am one to never, I learned my lesson long ago to never like pick fights on social media, for example. But what I have learned is that I have to hide certain members of my family just so I don't lose it. Some of the messages coming from some of them just make my blood boil. And I can't, in this moment, in this time frame, it's easier for me to just cut them out of my feed than deal with it, right? And it's not as if I have to deal with it. It's just their opinions. But sometimes you just got to cut out the toxic and focus on what you can control.
Yeah. So you're a mom. I'm a mom. A question I get all the time in therapy is it okay for me to break up with my parents?
I would say yes. Listen, I love my parents more than anything, but I'm very different than my parents. So I would never describe my relationship with my parents as close.
Yeah.
And it is just, it is what it is. And over time, it has just become that. I mean, it's as opposed to like, I look at my husband and who has a very, very close relationship with his parents and could not fathom anything otherwise. But I'm just a very different person. I have different opinions. I have a different way of approaching life than my parents. Do I love them any less because they disagree with me on things? No, of course not. I love my parents. But are they the first people I call when I'm having something happen to me? No. I have those people. They just happen to not be my parents. But at the same time, I still love every single one of my, I have a huge family, you know this, but like, I love my family. But you also learn over time who you can talk to, who will listen, who is your person, your people.
Yeah.
I don't need too many. I'm not one to have like a gazillion friends that I call, but as long as I have a couple that I can vent to or talk about kids to or talk about my husband to or talk about work to, then that's all I need. As long as you have some outlet. But yes, I think it's totally fine to divorce family members that are not healthy for you.
Yeah.
Luckily, I don't have that situation. There's nothing unhealthy about my family members. It's just more personalities. But there are absolutely situations where family members are toxic and unhealthy and need to be cut off for your own mental health.
Yes, I agree. I'm reminded that we experience guilt. Like there's something about society that tells us that we're supposed to be with family, you know? And are you choosing between your own safety and livelihood versus putting yourself in this situation where you're constantly attacked and hurt by people? It is absolutely okay to set boundaries. The boundaries don't have to be all or none. Sometimes we get stuck in this way of thinking where I'm like, if I break up with my family or this person, like that's it. I'm cutting them out forever. Mm-hmm. And it can be that way if you feel like that's what you want to do. And that's okay. It's in your control to say, this is how I want this relationship to run. And then you can communicate to people like, I'm not going to talk to you right now because the way that you are behaving and the way that you are talking is hurtful and harmful to my being. Yeah. And when you can show that you can be a better person, I will consider re-engaging our relationship. But right now, this is how it's going to be. And I think that's fair. You know, I think it's so much harder to to stay in situations sometimes, because we have, you know, we know what that's like to sit in really bad relationships where you cannot control people and the things that they do. And if you're in those times for too long, it's just suffering. Mm-hmm. Like, something has to change. The system has to change. People have to change, or you have to find a way to preserve yourself. There's no right or wrong answer. It's part of that process.
But recognizing it, I mean, this is part of this conversation, is recognizing what your emotions are is a very useful exercise.
Yes.
And taking the time to actually identify whether you are feeling anxious, or you are feeling
angry,
depressed, or you are feeling angry or rage. Uh-huh. Fill in the blank. Recognizing what that is and acknowledging it, even if you don't have a solution for it, I think is necessary and helpful if you can do it. Because if it's just all one big mess in your head,
yeah,
and you're just going 150 miles per hour and don't have time to stop, then you will ultimately explode.
It's the necessary first step for
self-awareness of my anger. Is step one. Yeah. What I do with it is still to be determined.
Well, it sounds like then we're kind of landing on two next steps. It's like, mm-hmm. after I see my anger, then I identify, what do I need right now? Do I need to release the pressure to just kind of keep going? Do I need to find friends to help give me confidence and like feel heard and mm-hmm. feel supported, because I'm dealing with this thing and these mm-hmm. people that are trying to kill you or whatever. And then the last thing is, am I so mad but calm enough that I can move towards taking some other action? Mm-hmm. One, to either set up barriers to say, I'm not going to let you affect me, or I'm going to try to engage with you to see if we can have some form of relationship.
Or if it's, I mean, if it's not a person, it's how can I live in the same orbit without having it affect me in the same way? Or how can I deal with the situation and try to look at positive outcomes? I mean, I look at the last 4 months and there's plenty of things that I am angry about, but I will never ever regret looking back on how much time I've been able to spend with my kids. You know what I mean? So like looking, trying to find that silver lining, even if in the moment it doesn't feel like it's a good thing to be spending this much time with my children, I know ultimately I would miss it. So having those moments of clarity and trying to find those kind of silver linings, we're saving a lot of greenhouse gases in terms of not driving around, right? So there's little things that you can think about that are potentially a positive. And I think that helps too, to just kind of calm your soul a little bit when you can't control everything.
Oh, it's so important. And it's actually a hard skill. Mm-hmm. I recognize that seeing the silver lining or finding a positive in a situation is, for whatever reason, my brain hasn't practiced it enough. It's the mm-hmm. hardest thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. But it's the direct contributor for why I move from angry to sad and mm-hmm. then hopeless, which like mm-hmm. makes me more depressed. And I really need to work on that skill, like if I'm going to survive.
Yeah.
So, all right, everyone. Thank you so much for coming into this episode today as we process through the things that make us mad and how we can't control them. Y'all keep on fighting in the open. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.